Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
In the basement, the beginning of December means that we have arbitration about to go down. We're going to find out who gets tendered and who does not get tendered over the next day or so here. December 2nd is the date where we finally get answers to an awful lot of questions. Plus, we've got the winter meetings right around the corner, the Rule 5 draft. So things are going to start to actually happen, which is a good thing because I need some activity, Craig Toth, because I am full of turkey and booze. I have saturated myself in turkey and booze with a side of stuffing over the last several days, and I'm ready to get back to work.
Yeah, and it's tough at this point in time, especially, you know, with a rebuilding team, but even with the non-rebuilding teams. I mean, there's some minor moves and stuff going on. We see, you know, I think that the Royals went back out and brought back Mike Minor.
That's a sneaky good sign, too. Like, yeah, for the Royals to go get Mike Minor, like, here's the thing. He was ugly. I get it. He was ugly for the first month or so of a shortened season. But some of these pitchers, there was a rash of injuries. Some of these guys didn't get rolling right away. When he made it over to the A's, he rocked for the last couple of weeks that he was there. And I'm shocked a team like the Royals is able to get him on the cheap so early in their rotation. I saw him as a guy that could end up on a contending team. And you know what the Royals are getting him for? They're getting him cheap now while nobody's paying attention to him so they can trade him halfway through the year. He would have been a nice pickup for the Pirates. Let's be honest. If that's what you had to get for Mike Minor, that's a guy you go get. You hope he's a reclamation project, and then you deal him for prospects while you're in this rebuild. I want to see more of that out of Ben Cherington. I was disappointed a team like the Royals snagged a Mike Minor if he was out there, and a team like the Pirates could have grabbed him as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing, I mean, we could go into arbitration at one point here, but that kind of brings up the moves that Ben Cherington's kind of been making, which is picking up relievers and possible starters, but just more arms pretty much, that are dropped off of other teams that are out there on the waiver. I mean, we went out and got Ashton Goudeau, you know, from the Colorado Rockies, who, you know, at one point in time was a fairly, I guess, not a highly touted prospect, but I think he had made it up to about 23 in the prospect rankings on the top 30. Did have some promise. Pitched pretty well in the minors as a starter last year. Got into, I think, only like 8 or so innings this year in the shortened season. His first, like, you know, cup of coffee in the bigs. And just didn't pitch very well. He walked a bunch of guys. Didn't get a ton of strikeouts, but he ends up getting waived, and, you know, Ben Cherington goes and picks him up, and DFAs Will Craig, which was a kind of a surprising DFA, just because of some of the other, I guess, people that are up for arbitration that I could see easily not getting the arbitration tendered. We've talked about this before, other guys who we've picked up throughout the season. I know Carson Falmer's still there, and he had been waived by a bunch of teams. He's waived by the Pirates even during the season and picked up towards the end of the season. Austin Davis. I mean, there's just a slew of guys that I thought that if they were going to do a pickup like that, that they would maybe designate a couple of those guys for assignment. But Will Craig, who at one point in time was a top 10 prospect, was seen as a potential first baseman of the future. I know, you know, Josh Bell kind of quote unquote blocked that to a degree, but Craig never really forced the issue. Hit pretty well in AA and AAA. I think it was 43 home runs across his last two minor league seasons. So was showing a little bit of pop in the bat. Was striking out a little bit more, sacrificing, you know, the home runs for the strikeouts or whatever, you know, vice versa. But it kind of shows once again that Ben Cherington has no loyalty to any of these players and was looking and saying, yeah, you know what? He doesn't need to stay on our 40 man. And if he clears waivers, we'll put him back in AAA. And you know what? We might use him later on, but if we don't have him, no real big loss here. I don't see him as part of the future. So he's making some pretty big decisions and moves just with a quote unquote minor move like that.
I think a guy like Ben Cherington, like you said, who's not tied to a Will Craig because he didn't bring him into the organization, can look at him very harshly. This is something we talked about when Cherington came in. The idea that he is not tied to any of these guys. So what does he see? He sees a guy who was 24 years old when he finally makes it to AAA, and in his 25-year-old year, doesn't get to do very much, right? I mean, he had two games at the major league level. If I'm not mistaken, he got to come up for two games and four plate appearances, didn't do anything. I think his only line is that he struck out. He was 0-for-4 with a strikeout in his entire major league career at this point. So he's going into his year 26 season, and if he's not in the plans for you to bring him up and start playing him, or you don't think he's going to be there in the next year or so, he's dead weight. And here's the problem. Here's a guy who, when you look at his NC2A stats, and I know we never go back into this, but here's a kid that when he was 20 years old and he was in the NCAA and he's playing for Wake Forest, that he goes out and he has an OPS of 1197. He hits 382 in that league and hits 13 homers with 58 RBIs, all right? He comes out his next year at Wake Forest, and he brings out the OPS, and he does even better. He's got an OPS of 1251. He slugs 731 with an on-base percentage of 520 in that college season, his last college season, hitting 379. So, of course, you're like, he's going to be good. Ever since then, he's not cracked in single A, double A, or AAA, an OPS of 800. He has been an average mid-700s OPS guy at every step of the way. And the thing has been, not his slugging, because he has had a few things where he's actually increased his power, but he's getting on base. He's in the low 300s with his on-base percentage, and the slugging has not hit 500. So he's not a big hitter. And what you drafted him for, or what the Pirates organization drafted him for, was that he was a hitter, and he's not. He's an average hitter playing at a position where first basemen are a dime a dozen. And what are you planning on doing? Continuing to develop a guy when he's 26 years old and you're not ready to bring him to the majors, and you're trying to build something? By the time this thing rolls around for Ben Cherington and he's got this team built the way he wants to build it, Will Craig's 29 or 30 years old, and he's not in the plan. He's not on the chart to figure out what you're going to do. I guarantee you he tried to move Will Craig. At some point in the last year, he was trying to move him in a deal, and nobody wanted him. And so we had him marked down as, next time there's a roster spot open, this is my pool of guys that I could move on with in a heartbeat. Boom. You don't make that decision that day. He's on a list. There's a list in a drawer right now, and it's like the first five guys on the chopping block. And he crosses it off, and the next guy on the list was Will Craig, and he saw an arm, and getting arms is a good idea. Your bullpen, all bullpens, are built by arms, and you're just hoping to find that year or two when they're at their best, when you need them, or you're trading them to get another arm that you can wait to get. And that's all he is collecting arms. And so I completely understand the move, and I don't think it's an indication, and you could tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think it's an indication that everybody's getting arbitration offer to them just because he got rid of Will Craig.
No, and that was the point of, I thought it showed more about just his evaluation of Will Craig and where he saw his future with the Pirates, as opposed to any other move. I wrote an article discussing, you know, first base of the Pirates with, you know, Colin Moran, and Josh Bell were the two main ones. I even put Eric Gonzalez and, you know, Philip Evans, who got a shot at first base last year, as people who could fill in at first base just because of versatility and everything. And to me, it came down to the fact that, you know, you could keep one of those guys, two of those guys, three of those guys, four of those guys. It had nothing to do with Will Craig. It doesn't mean Colin Rand's getting moved. Doesn't mean Josh Bell's getting moved. It doesn't mean they're all getting arbitration. Doesn't mean extensions are being handed out. That was a move specifically about Will Craig. That's what it came down to. It wasn't anything to do with first base of the future or anything. Only that Will Craig wasn't the first baseman of the future.
Listen, 6'3", 220-pound, right-handed first baseman that have OPSs in the mid-700s fall off of trees in Major League Baseball and can be scooped up anywhere you go. And there are journeymen. They get grabbed up by teams that are better than that. You can sign for a one-year deal if you need a guy to fill in. He never established himself as an important piece. And he is a leftover prospect that didn't work out from an old regime. And that's why the Pirates have moved on from him. We should move on as well. Let's talk about arbitration now. We've got a lot of guys on a list that we've got to decide. Are they going to tender or are they not going to tender? I want to say that you have a list of 13 guys. We've been going back and forth. It's really funny. Depending on the website you go to, this guy's eligible. This guy's not eligible. We think we've got the exact list, but I don't think most of Major League Baseball is paying attention to the Pirates. So we had to do a little bit of work to make sure that we had the correct list. And Craig, you've got the 13 in front of you. Let's go through these guys and let's talk about them.
First up is the most expensive guys is going to be Josh Bell. And as we've talked about before, it's still not going to be super expensive. I mean, I know that on the high end, MLB Trade Rumors is saying that it could be like the $7.2 million. But that was, you know, I think that's pretty much if you almost ignore, you know, the 2020 season and just go off of, you know, previous stats. And he did have a pretty solid 2019. So seeing him go up to that, but I've seen it more in the range of, you know, the $5.5 to $6 million. Like I said before, I don't see any reason why, you know, Josh Bell's going to get tendered. He's going to get tendered a contract.
Yeah. You want me to say something really controversial to you?
What's that?
All right. In the 3 years leading up to his 2019 All-Star season, he's Will Craig, who we were just talking about. He's a little bit higher on the OPS, a little bit. He did actually hit 800 on his OPS. Now, in 2019, he has a great year, and that's what you need from Josh Bell. But if you get what you got out of him in the shortened season, that is some bad money. That is some really bad money. Now, it's arbitration, so you're only in for one more year. So you're hoping shortened season, we get back, we play 162 games. He's got a new staff around him. He gets used to things. You get that craziness of COVID. Let's be honest. The moment the Pirates came out of the gate and looked bad and realized they were going to be out of this thing, there was no more excitement to a shortened season. It was a miserable jail sentence where you spent 60 days having to be quarantined inside of a strange hotel or locked away from your family. It was not fun to be a team that wasn't in the postseason race. And that last month, I mean, you knew 3 weeks into it, you were out of it. That's how quick it happened in that. So it's hard for me to pin what a guy did on 2020 on him. But his 2019 season was like a tale of two seasons, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was the first half was, you know, off the charts, near historic numbers for a couple months. And then, I mean, the second half of the year, his numbers just completely dropped off. I mean, the average dropped off, the pace of his home runs. I mean, he was in the home run derby, and the next thing you know, if he would have had the type of season he had in the second half, in the first half, he's not an all-star, and he's not at the home run derby. I mean, so he actually hasn't played well since probably around the middle to end of June of 2019. And like you said, before that, there were, you know, good, but not great years. And I know that if it's, that's why I'm saying if it's more towards the 5 million, 5.5 million, but as soon as you put that 7.2 million out there, like I just start to shake my head a little bit.
But,
and I'm like,
but the thing is, if you offer arbitration, you could lose and he could end up with that higher number. Look, if the Pirates offer him arbitration, they're not giving him arbitration necessarily because they think he's a cornerstone piece. They may be giving him arbitration in the hopes that, hey, if he plays really well, but we don't know whether or not he's going to be valuable when it's time for this team to start winning, he could be a very valuable piece that brings up some very high-end, I'm talking multiple guys, in the top 100 pipeline across MLB. If he has a year like he had in 2019, and he goes and he does that again. Or he becomes a piece that you're like, okay, we're going to sign him to a deal. Let's see what the market is for him. Let's talk to his agent. But if you go to arbitration with him and he turns out to be what he was in the first couple years of his career, I don't think you go back after him ever again. You're moving on from him because I think that he becomes an above average at best first baseman. And I don't know if an above average at best is good enough when you have so many holes on your team. But I what do you think? Arbitration or not?
Yeah, I think he's going to get it.
I think so,
he's
too.
Get offered.
I agree. Yeah. Go ahead. Next guy.
Next guy, Stephen Brault. Due around like 1.5 to 2.5 million.
He's getting there, but he's getting tender because people are knocking on the door about trading for him.
Yeah. So it's a given.
You're going to pay 1.5 million just to find out what you can get for the guy. And he wouldn't be that bad to keep on your team for a year. If they're knocking on the door now, they'll be knocking on the door, some contending team. If he comes out and does what he did recently. So he's definitely getting tendered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For a million and a half for sure. You know, I get muscle aches all the time. I've gone from being able to do whatever I want to and not feeling any pain to basically getting pain for any kind of physical activity. Good news, there's a local family-owned Southside business that provides a CBD topical that will not break the bank. Creaky Bone Balm offers concentrated relief for creaky bones. It is an effective hemp-based CBD in a rejuvenating balm. And guess what? It's made in small batches, always free of preservatives, and all natural ingredients. It's great for muscle aches, tension, inflammation, joint pain. You can even use it for skin ailments like burns and dry, cracked skin. Right now, go to creakybone.com and use the promo code BASEMENT. Get 20% off your order. Whether it's physical activity or off-season stress, Creaky Bone's gonna help you out. Use that promo code BASEMENT, 20% off your order right now at creakybone.com.
And then the next one up is another tough one for me is Adam Frazier, where there's a big gap. It's like 3.3 million to 5.2 million. And the 3.3 million is to try to see what you can get to trade for Adam Frazier is not too bad, but 5.2 million for a guy that's been, I mean, I know he's got the two gold gloves and we talked about, those guys getting released if they can't use the bat. And this past year, he didn't use the bat. But even when he's been, like, good offensively, he's been league average to a little bit below league average. And is that worth $5.2 million? I think he gets tendered. I don't think the number goes up that high. But this is another one where I think he gets tendered. But I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't, because they've been trying to trade him, supposedly trying to trade him for the past year, last offseason at the most recent deadline, whether or not there was deals in the works or it just basically didn't get worked out. So are you going to go into another season and try that again? I honestly think Ben Sherrington is, but that's one that even if they said he was non-tendered, I would be a little bit surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I wouldn't be shocked either. I don't have a problem with keeping him because I think they have a good chance of keeping that number down in arbitration. There are a lot of comparable players to Adam Frazier who have had seasons like what he did in his shortened season in 2020. And even if you look at his 2019, and what I think is going to happen here is I think if you're going into the arbitration, remember it's an impartial person, right? So I would think that anybody that's working on the players end is going to walk in with the 2019 numbers and say, let's take the last 162 games, or let's take what his average would be if we used last season and this one and we mix all the numbers together, because these guys didn't get a full representation. And so I think an Adam Frazier looks better if they go and do something like that, but I think there's a little bit of a drop off. And I think that you also look at players like, here's the perfect example. Last year, Yoimer Sanchez won a gold glove in 2019 in the American League at second base and was non-tendered at about the same price, at about $5 million. And no team picked him up. He ended up basically on a minor league deal, was released three times during a shortened 60-game season. And then after the season was over, was released again and DFA'd immediately. So the glove doesn't matter as much, or at least that's what the argument would be from the Pirates side of it. I think he gets tendered, but I'm not shocked if he gets non-tendered. I think that's the point I'm making there. I think that, yeah. And I think if he gets tendered, it doesn't mean you're paying that high-end price on him. I don't think they're going to get held up for Adam Frazier. I'd be shocked if they lost that arbitration hearing.
And next up here is Chad Kuhl. It's going, the range is $1.3 to $2.2 million for starting pitcher, a guy who actually pitched fairly well coming back from Tommy John once he got stretched out. I think it's like a no-brainer. I think they're going to pick that up. It's a good arm. It's somebody that can be a starter, can be a swingman, you know, relief, whatever you would need from him. But it's a cheap arm and with potential.
I'm all for cheap arms with potential. Next guy.
Okay, Joe Musgrove. I mean, he's getting...
Yeah, you're totally tendering him. Like, he's the most non-brainer. He's the biggest no-brainer in this entire group. He really is. And you know what I get sick of? I get sick of Pirates fans that try to say that Joe Musgrove isn't a good pitcher. I think Joe Musgrove is a good pitcher on a bad team that if he was on a good team, his mistakes would get covered up and he would sit in the middle of a rotation. I'm going to tell you right now, there are several teams that have aspirations to go to the World Series next year that are asking the Pirates about Joe Musgrove. So if you don't appreciate Joe Musgrove, here's what I'm going to say. He's not an ace of staff. He's not. You don't have anybody on this team that's an ace of staff. You don't have anybody on this team that's a two. But he is a solid three and an easy four walking around in rotation that's going to eat innings, win games, and on a good team becomes a much better pitcher. And there are teams that want him. So you tender him. And you let him pitch for you, and when somebody gives you the package you finally want, whether it be here in the offseason or before the trade deadline, that's where the riches roll in that you build your team around. So in a couple of years when the Pirates are ready to start contending, you remember, oh yeah, we got those two guys for Joe Musgrove. That's what Joe Musgrove is. You're totally tendering him.
Oh yeah, and that's the person that, you know, in the Twitter sphere or whatever you want to call it that gets brought up to me the most. Is even when there's trade discussions, when I write an article about Adam Frazier or discuss somebody else, it always comes back to this is what we would give you for Musgrove.
You get hit up by other beat reporters, other podcasters, other bloggers from other teams.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, what would you guys give us? What do you guys want for Joe Musgrove? He is the number one target, the number one Pirates target that every other fan base is looking at right now. He is the most valuable thing that the Pirates have. And Ben Cherington is going to have to hold people up for him.
Yeah.
He can't leave him on his roster. Like, at some point, he's got to take the best possible deal. You can't let him lose value as well. You can't hold on to him for too long. At some point, you got to say, okay, everybody submit your best offer to me, and I'm taking one of them because I want to start building this team. That's what you have to do.
Yeah, and the next guy's another trade piece, and it's a very cheap trade piece. It's Richard Rodriguez, like $1.1 to $1.7 million for a guy who's our closer, but for another team could be, I think we talked last week when we were talking to Anthony Franco, he was saying a guy that could be the solid, you know, seventh inning guy, maybe even a setup guy, you know, maybe not a closer for a team, but, you know, looking for a reliever, $1.1 to $1.7 million, teams may be jumping on that.
I don't feel like he has the body of work that makes me confident that you can go into the 2021 season and he could be as valuable or more valuable at the All-Star break or right before the trade deadline. This may be the most valuable he's ever going to be. Like, you could hold on to Musgrove till the trade deadline for a team that's looking for a starter. And I don't know if that's going to be the best thing that you have or if you have to pull the trigger. But if Rodriguez comes out slow out of the gate, his market could dry up quickly. So he would be a guy that I would be like, all right, well, what do you guys have? And if you see a name and you're like, this is a guy I want on my team, this is somebody that I think we're going to have in the major leagues contributing in a couple of years on this team, you deal him. Relief pitchers are generally flashes in the pan, and he's flashing right now. So you want to take full advantage of that.
Yeah, and the next one is, it's once again another cheap arm. Chris Stratton is $800,000 to $1.2 million. Pitched pretty much one of the best seasons of his career last year. And, you know, the Pirates got him for nothing. You know what I mean? So, like, these are the types of moves that you want to flip over and get something for. And here's the thing is, if Chris Stratton, if this was his, like, say, 25, 26-year-old season or something, but no, it's another guy who's like 30, you know what I mean? You're looking, you want to move those guys.
Yeah, but I think that he could be a kind of guy that gets non-tendered. Honest to goodness, I really do. I think he could be an on-tender just because you need roster space. He's one of those guys that, yeah, I understand he's cheap. Yeah, I understand. But I don't think he's on a lot of radars for teams want to give up very much for him. I don't think you're going to get very much for him. Unlike Rodriguez, who's clearly trade bait and definitely Musgrove, I don't know if Stratton is in that category. I mean, look at it this way. The Marlins just acquired a solid pitcher off of the Indians. They just grabbed an arm, and all they did was pay him $100,000. It's a weird offseason right now, and you've got some teams that are just scuttling the ship because of financials. And I don't really know if it makes sense. He might be a victim of the he might be a non-tender victim. My gut tells me non-tender victim with him.
Okay, and I could definitely see that, because there was Chris Stratton and Eric Gonzalez. And Eric Gonzalez, you know, comes in like $1.2 to $1.9 million. And those were two guys that I listed when I think when I wrote an article that I said I could be talked into non-tendering or being non-tender.
Here's the thing. How many positions do you have on the field? You're keeping Frazier and you're keeping Gonzalez? Don't you have young guys that you want to get out there and have play? Aren't you looking to have Cole Tucker play every day? And if Frazier's playing, isn't he playing second base? Like if Brian Hayes is over a third, do you really need to pay a high-priced back? Do you need to pay any backup over $1 million? Like your backup could be a league minimum guy at this point. So that's the thing. Like I could see you tendering Gonzalez if you're not keeping Frazier, but you have so many middle infielders. You've either given up on some of those names. You've given up on Kevin Newman completely. Or you're like, you know what? This guy's arbitration came up, and the other guy I still have control over at a cheaper price. And it doesn't matter to me which one of them is going to go out there, because we're going to lose 90 to 110 games next year. So who cares? I'd be shocked if he and Frazier are both tendered. That's the easiest way for me to say that.
Okay. And that totally makes sense to me. I mean, because that's where my gut comes down to. And I just saw, you know, Frazier as the possible still trade value if teams are still calling on him like they were before. If they're not,
I get that, but I listen to you when you talk to these guys in these interviews, and I love you, and I do it myself. Fans believe more in their own guys than maybe the rest of baseball believes in them. And there, I heard you. I don't remember who you were talking to, but you brought up Adam Frazier three damn times. And whoever you were talking to just kept going, but it's more Musgrove. Like, you want Adam Frazier to be a trade piece. I don't know how much of a trade piece he really is. And if he is, I don't know what you're really getting back for him. I wish I could go back and listen to the old shows, folks. There's one in the last couple of weeks here, because you've talked to some great guests. There's one where and you kept trying to say, what about Frazier? What about Frazier?
I think it was Jason Martinez from...
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Jason Martinez from Fangraphs, and he kept going like, well, Rodriguez... And Musgrove, like, he just kept trying to be nice to you without saying nobody wants Adam Frazier. I felt listening to it as somebody who wasn't part of that interview that he was basically trying to tell you in the nicest way possible, Craig, nobody wants your garbage. Like, that's what it felt like to me. And that's not to call Adam Frazier garbage. I'm just saying I don't think he's got as good of a standing in the eyes of other teams and what they're going to give up to get him as you think that he has.
Yeah, and maybe he did have it last offseason and it dwindled away and he should have been dealt back then. And maybe that was a missed opportunity. Who knows? Cause I like we said, I remember having the conversation that he was the bell of the ball of the winter meetings last year.
Bell of the ball.
But then after that, the talk definitely has dried up and it's been more of our pitchers and not so much anybody else.
All right. So how many we got left? Cause we got about 3 minutes here.
Okay. We got Jacob Stallings.
Just give me a yay or nay.
Yay.
I hear that he's. There are some teams that might be interested in him as a backup catcher as well. He might actually get some value. Not a lot, but he might get you something. But I think he's getting dealt, actually. And you and I like him because we like his defense and we just like him as a player. And we know we don't have a better catcher than that on this team. But Jacob Stallings is getting tendered. That's for sure. Who else?
Jameson Taillon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's getting tendered. He's there. He's part of the team. Keep him. And you're not even trying to move him. You're keeping him and hoping he turns into what Jameson Taillon was beforehand, and even better.
Yeah, and that's it, man. That's all of them.
That's it.
Yeah.
Those last two are easy.
Yeah.
Bucks in the Basement back next week. Remember, if you've missed an episode, don't worry. We've been doing them all off season and they're on demand. Tell Alexa, play Bucks in the Basement. Find it on iHeartRadio. Go to Stitcher Radio inside of your GM vehicle. Or just use any podcast player you can think of. It's found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at BucksInTheBasement.com. Bye-bye, everybody.
Take it easy.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say.